Well, it's good to be back in the house of the Lord. Good to see y'all. Good to be back at New Hope Independent Baptist Church. I hope y'all have been doing well. I know, need to pray for the Cooper family. Their brother passed away, my understanding. I found that out yesterday, and prayers are with them. I know he had a long bout there, and so need to pray for them. As we say down in Pensacola all the time, isn't that right? Y'all say that up here? God is good all the time. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you will, this morning, turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 50. Genesis chapter 50, and you there find also Matthew, and hold it with your finger there, because we'll turn over there as soon as I read a couple of scriptures there in Genesis 50 to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. Look like we're going to have another beautiful day. Thank God it's warmed up some. I don't know about y'all. Maybe y'all like cold. Cold hurts my body. It's been cold down in Pensacola. We've had the most frost this winter season that we've ever had, I think. Consecutive days of it. Usually we only have maybe two, sometimes three, and possibly four frost in a whole winter season down there. This year, I don't know how many days we've had of frost, but it's just get up every morning and it's just totally white, like it snowed all night. So, ice on the windshields and stuff. So, all right, Genesis chapter 50. I would like to start in verse 19. And Joseph said unto them, "Fear not, for am I in the place? But as for you, ye talk evil against me. God made it good to bring it to pass, as it is this day, and remember this, to save much people alive. And now, therefore, fear you not, I will nourish you and your little ones." And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. And in Matthew chapter 1, in comparison, and that's what I'm going to teach this morning, is through some typology and the types that Joseph is of Christ. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, the Bible says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." And let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning, if we will. Our dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for all that you do for us. Father, we can certainly do nothing without you. And Father, we just praise your holy name for your precious book. And dear Lord, I thank you for these precious people that showed up here this morning. Ask, dear God, that you would just fill their heart and their soul, and dear Lord, with the word of God. And dear Lord, that everyone would receive a blessing from your precious word today. And Father, we ask that you would be with all these prayer requests that's been mentioned. And Father, be with the Cooper family, that you would just comfort them as only you can, dear God. And Father, we thank you, and we love you, we praise you, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to do a comparison. Joseph is the greatest type of Jesus Christ in the Bible. I mean, there's other men of God that was the type, has been types of Christ, but Joseph is the greatest type of Christ in the Bible. You'll find in the book of Genesis alone, from Genesis chapter 37 to chapter 50, there's well over 75 types that's been mentioned there, 75 ways that he is a type of Christ. And I wanted to start out this lesson here this morning, and this is one of these lessons, again, that would take up several weeks of doing if we did it in depth, but I want to So I scanned across some of it, and so we get the gist of it. And in chapter 50, we start out that Joseph, his brothers, has found out who he is. You know, he's revealed himself to his brothers. And all these things passed here that his brothers did to him. And they thought, surely he's not going to forgive us. Surely now, you know, we're waiting our punishment because he's going to take vengeance on us. And Joseph, in other words, instead of having vengeance, he had forgiveness. And that's a type of Christ. And, you know, God could take vengeance upon mankind on this earth at any time. And it would be just for their rejection of him, for their just turning away and not even looking toward him for salvation and not loving him, but cursing him. I mean, you see, you go out here in the public and you'll hear people curse at, you know, just say God's name in vain. And they don't even realize they're saying it a great many times because they grew up that way hearing it. And it's just a travesty. But God can take vengeance upon this world at any time and be justly so. But instead, he has given us this age of grace that we're living in right now. And thank God for that, because that gave you and I an opportunity to get saved so that we can become the children of God, the sons of God, and have our eternal abode in heaven. But Joseph here, you see that after his brothers, they fell down before him. And Joseph said unto them, fear not. How many times does God say that to us? That's comforting when we know when God says that to us. We open up God's word and we may be going through a troublesome time or a problem. And he tells us to fear not. There's just a calmness. I don't know about you, but it's a calmness that comes over me. And I know, well, God, you've got this. You've got this in your hand. You've got it in your control. And what can harm me whenever you're the one protecting me, you see? So he told them to fear not. And he asked them a question, for am I in the place of God? Well, no, he's not. But God had placed him in the place of position of great leadership, second in command in the whole nation of Egypt at that time, and had prospered people under his hand. And he had saved many people alive, you remember, because of the famine that had come. And God had given him wisdom on to tell them to store up food for 7 years, because there was 7 years a coming that was going to be a famine in the land. And can you imagine people just starving to death by the thousands or hundreds of thousands back then, had it not been for God's mercy and his grace of putting Joseph into position to do that. And so he saved much people alive. But we see in what there in Matthew, it says that she shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus. Which I would like to say right now, there is no greater name than the great name of Jesus. And for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, Jesus, the Son of God, he didn't only just save people alive and from a famine, but he saved us from hell. And thank God for that. So he saved us from our sins. Joseph there did have a saving part, saving lives from starving to death. But Jesus Christ saves from sins. And praise God for that. And Joseph over there, they thought evil against him. Does not the world think evil against God? Don't they make plans against God? They make every plan out there they can that is against this word right here, this book. And they hate this book. And they'll try to, even in the religious circles today, they'll turn away from this book every way they can. And we see that in false versions that's come about over the past, over 100 and some years now. All those false versions of the Bible that's been printed up and come into circulation has been against God, because they've taken the words of God, they've changed the words of God, taken them out, and so forth. And so, but Joseph, he showed that he had mercy. had mercy, and he was going to help them. Jesus Christ has mercy. And just as Joseph was going to be there, he said, I will nourish you in verse 21 and your little ones. That's from the top down. That's from the oldest to the very youngest. He said, I'm going to nourish you. I'm going to take care of you. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. Now, did not Jesus do the same thing for his people and for us? He was there, Joseph was, for his people. In verse 23 of Matthew chapter 1, Jesus, his name is Emmanuel. And that means God with us. How much more comforting can you get than that? Knowing that our Father is with us. Now, if you will, turn to your Bible, Genesis chapter 37 and verse 50. I'm going to go through, and like I said, there's probably 75 types of Christ in the book of Genesis, from Genesis 37 to Genesis chapter 50. It may be even more than that. Of course, I'm not going to give you all 75 today, okay? So, I've only got a few wrote down here, some of the main ones that I think here, and so forth. In Genesis chapter 37, verse 3, you'll notice that Joseph loved Israel more than all, chapter 37, verse 3. Now, Israel loved Joseph more than all his children. Now, Jacob, Israel, he had 12 sons. And out of those 12, he loved Joseph more than any of them. And that's a type of the Father, Father God. In Matthew chapter 3, we see that type being fulfilled in Christ and the Father. Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, it says in the Bible, and lo, a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So you see that type right there, that Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, and then God the Father loves Jesus Christ, you see, his Son, more than anyone, you see, and he's well pleased with him. That over there in verse 3 of chapter 37, when the Bible says that Israel loved Joseph more than, all his children. It also means that he didn't just love him more, but he had the highest regard for him. He was more special to him. And you say, well, I don't think it's fair to have more respect or love one of your children more than others, but we're not God. And God loves his Son, Jesus Christ, and he has the right to more than anyone, you see. In 37:3, it also says he was the son of his old age. That Joseph was the son of Jacob, Israel, in his old age. Well, you have the typology being fulfilled in Jesus Christ once again in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. The beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. I say he's the son of old age, isn't he? God's always existed from eternity past to eternity future. And you can't even count the years to that. And so he's a son of his old age. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything that was made. 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 also says this. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For this life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you the eternal life, which was the Father with the Father, and was manifested unto us. Again, type of the son of old age. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 8, to complete that, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending. That's the son of old age. I'm telling you, it's just you cannot measure the time in that. There's not years or any time that can measure that. Saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Well, we also see that in Genesis chapter 3, he was a favorite son. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his sons, so he showed favoritism there. He was the most favorite son of them, of all his children. Luke chapter 3, verse 21 and 22. Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized, and praying, the heaven was opened. In verse 22, get this, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. Again, it shows that God had a favorite son, and it's the only begotten son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Joseph is a type of that. And then we see that both of them regarded themselves as shepherds, Joseph and Jesus. They regarded themselves as shepherds. Genesis chapter 37, verse 2, just one verse up here. It says, These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. So he took care of the sheep, and we know that by reading through the scriptures. And he was a shepherd boy, Joseph was. And God always sends types in whatever he does. And even though that was many, many years back, he was showing people, giving them an inkling of, here's what's to come. I'm sending my son. I'm giving you a type of him in the life of Joseph, you see. And corresponding with Genesis chapter 37, verse 2, both regarded themselves as shepherds. Well, we have that John chapter 10. He says, I am the good shepherd, Jesus says. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. And I'm here to say that Joseph, he gave his life, you would say, almost. He dedicated his life to helping his people, you see, and to saving much people alive from the famine. The third one here, we have both were sent to their brethren by their fathers. Were they not? Both of them were. Genesis chapter 37 again, verse 13 and 14. The Bible says, And Israel said unto Joseph, Do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said to him, Here am I. He was a willing servant, Joseph was. He did not, when his daddy told him, said, Come on, get ready to go. I'm going to send you to your brothers. You don't see any inclination, anything that Joseph said, Oh, I'm not going to do that. I don't feel like going over there. You don't see any disobedience to him, to his father, you see. He willingly and lovingly just submitted himself unto his father. And that's exactly what Christ did with his father. When his father said, Go, I'm going to send you to earth to be born of a woman, to become a man. You have to suffer the same pains and sufferings that mankind goes through. And then you have to suffer the horrible death of the cross. But I'll raise you up again. There's nowhere in the Bible that tells you that Jesus disobeyed his father. There's nowhere in there that you'll see that Jesus said, No, I don't want to do that. I don't want to suffer. They're not worth suffering for. No, you don't see that. You see that Christ was willing. He was a willing servant unto his Father, and he came. Let me finish reading verse 14 of Genesis 37. He said unto him, Go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren and well with thy flocks, and bring me word again. Luke chapter 20, verse 13, Then said the Lord of the vineyard, What shall I do? I will send my beloved son. This is God talking about his son. It may be well that they reverence him when they see him. And we know that they didn't. No, they rejected God's Son. And instead of having reverence for him, they had despisement for him. And hung him on the cruel tree of the cross. Well, both were hated by their brethren without a cause. They had no cause to hate Joseph. His brothers didn't. He tried to love them. He tried to take care of them. He tried to help them, be there for them, and so forth. Jesus was hated without a cause. You know, whenever he came and he started his ministry at 30 years old, he came unto the children of Israel to plead with them to repent, to turn to him. And you know, if they had accepted him instead of rejected him, given them the kingdom then, he would have ruled and reigned. But instead, they rejected him. They wanted a physical king and not a spiritual king. God over them. And so, they hated him without a cause. The 37, verse 4, 5, and 8. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak kindly unto him. Isn't that something? Wow, they were so jealous of their brother that they couldn't even speak. He became like an outsider, an outcast, because they hated him so much. Was a dream to dream and told it. They hated him yet the more. You remember the dreams that he had. We're going to fall down before you. You must be out of your mind. Who do you think you are? I'm sure that's what they were saying to him. But God had given Joseph these dreams for a future time. In verse 8, his brethren said to him, "Shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us?" And look what the Bible says. And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. I mean, you talk about totally despising this young man at 17 years old at this time. Wow. They had a tremendous amount of hatred for him. Well, in John chapter 1, verse 11, the Bible says he, talking about Jesus, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. They wouldn't have anything to do with him. They wanted no part with him. They would not accept him, but they would reject him. And that's exactly what Joseph's brothers did with him. See that type? John chapter 15, verse 25 says, "But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause." They hated me. They had no cause to hate him, but they did. Well, then there's another one. Both were plotted against by their brethren. In other words, their evil deeds plotted, and they put their minds together and put together a plan, devised a plan against him. Chapter 37, verse 20 says, "Come now, therefore, and let us slay him." Wow, they was ready to kill him. They was ready to kill him. "And cast him into some pit, and we will say, some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams." Wow. They wanted to stop him at any cost. Their hatred for him is just unimaginable. They plotted this plan. "We'll kill him. We'll throw him in a pit. Then we'll tell Dad and everybody that some evil beast come upon him and tore him to pieces." Well, that's exactly what they did, except they didn't kill him. They threw him in the pit. And then the caravan came by. and they sold him into slavery. But then they took that coat of many colors that his father had made for him, and he cherished that coat. They took it, tore it to pieces, and put blood all over it from a lamb that they had killed. And said, showed it unto their father. Is not this your son's? Can you see that? How devious that is. Is not this your son's? They didn't matter. They didn't take no thought of how heartbroken their daddy was going to be, you see. And you know, when Israel as a nation, those Pharisees, and all those people standing there before Pilate that day, and Pilate gave them the opportunity to choose them to set one free. Will it be Jesus, which I find no fault in him, or Barabbas, which is a criminal, a seditionist? Which one? And they cried out, set Barabbas free, but crucify Jesus Christ. Crucify him. Crucify him. And yet they went even more hatred and their devious plan. Not only did they say crucify him, but then they cried out and said, let his blood be upon us and upon our children, upon our children's children. You see all those people, that crowd standing there that day, can you imagine it? And they're standing before Pilate up there and before Jesus standing there beaten, and he's bloody. And yet they would cry out to crucify him, and his blood not to be just on us. Do you think they really understood what they were saying there? But let it be upon our children's children. I mean, for generations to come, let his blood, let us be responsible, held responsible for his blood. Let us and our children and our grandchildren, great-grandchildren, on down the line, be held responsible for murdering and killing the Son of God. In essence, that's what they were saying. Little did they know that God would exact exactly what they asked for. I was in the year somewhere right around A.D. 29 or A.D. 30 when they crucified Christ. And just 40 years down the road in A.D. 70, Titus came in with his troops and just massacred the Jews. There's an estimated that he killed over 1 million, possibly more, before he was done with that carnage. It says that their blood ran down the streets of Jerusalem. They come in and they ripped up the women. They took the ripped the babies out of the women's bellies and dashed children up the walls and so forth. And they killed men, women, children. It didn't matter. And their blood was running down the streets like a river. I wonder, some of those people were still alive 40 years later that had called out, crucify him and let his blood be upon us. I wonder if their thoughts before they died or before they were killed, wow, we ask for this. The same thing, and I ain't got time to go into that. America has done the exact same thing. When a nation supports abortion and the atrocities of murdering innocent babies, where they're the safest place in that womb of their mother, and yet they're dug out of there and killed and maimed, and just discard it like a piece of trash. And those mothers that has that done, and the people that supports that and continues to fight to keep abortion legal and so forth. And they just legalized it down in Argentina. Just a few weeks ago, did you see it on the news? They've been trying to push it through for years and years. Finally, just a few weeks, couple weeks ago, they legalized abortion. And you should have seen how the people was just cheering by the thousands in the streets. Women and men alike. Just cheering, having a great big party. It's my body. I can do whatever I want to with it. Nobody can tell me any different. And I'm wondering, you know, when a nation like ours continues to support that, they don't even realize they're saying, let those children's blood be upon us and upon our children and upon our children's children. There's a reckoning day coming. And God will judge justly for those murders, those innocent children. Well, both were plotted against by his brethren. And come now, therefore, let us slay him, cast him into some pit, they said. We'll say to some evil beast devoured him, and we shall see what will become his brilliant dreams. John chapter 11, verse 23, about Jesus. Then from that day forth, they took counsel together for to put him to death. Those Pharisees and Sadducees, those religious leaders, those that was in charge and in power, they said, let's make a plan. Let's devise a plan on how we're going to get rid of this guy. How we're going to kill him. Joseph's brothers had done the same thing to him. Well, both were severely tempted. Genesis chapter 39, verse 7. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph and said, lie with me. And of course, we know the story there. Joseph did not. He refused to be tempted by her. And he ran. He flew from that temptation of sin. He got away from it. Both were severely tempted. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Then Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, you see. So both of them were tempted. But both of them was victorious over that temptation. He did not fall into it. They did not fall into that trap, that snare of the devil. Then both were taken into Egypt. Chapter 37, verse 28. Then they there passed by Midianites, merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they brought Joseph into Egypt. Matthew chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Then both were stripped of their robes. Chapter 37, verse 23. And it came to pass when Joseph was come unto his brethren that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him. John chapter 19, verse 23 and 24. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it. Who shall it be? That the scripture might be fulfilled which saith, they parted my raiment among them and cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did. Now Joseph, his father had made him the coat of many colors. That coat was special. It was special. Nobody else had one like it. It wasn't manufactured in assembly line. There was only one original coat of many colors, and his father had made it for him. I often wonder who made this coat that Jesus wore. See, they tore his other clothes in two and parted them among four ways. But this coat, boy, them soldiers sat down for that and they said, whoa, wait a minute. There's something different about this. I've never seen anything made like this. This thing has no seams in it. Can you imagine that? No seams where it was sewed together. But it had a hole at the top for his head to go through. And of course, the hole at the bottom, around the bottom here. He'd wear it like that. He'd just put it over his head. Down it drooped. They didn't want to tear that into pieces. They said, this is special. This is valuable. And so they gambled, cast lots. I said gambled. They cast lots for it. There's one thing I despise is gambling. And the lottery is nothing but gambling. It's just gambling. People throw away their money on that junk. Nothing irks me no more than I stop at a gas station, fill up with gas, and that thing don't give me a receipt. Sometimes I think they do that so that it'll make people come in and buy stuff in the store because it happens so frequently. So I have to go in there and get a receipt because I'm a business owner. And then when I get in there, 15 minutes ago, I'm behind them. Each one is like that. Two cash registers running. Buying lottery tickets, they are. Oh, I have this, get this one, this one, you know, and all this. And just, and I've got a business to run. You know, I'm just hyped up. I'm ready to go. But I've got to wait on that mess. And they're just throwing away their money. Takes a fool to gamble. That's all we said. But both were stripped of their robes, my friends. And both of those robes are special. And I believe, since that coat of many colors was given to Joseph by his father, Genesis 37:28. Then there passed by many a night merchantmen, and they drew up and lifted Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they brought Joseph into Egypt. Matthew 26:15. And they said unto them, what will you give me? And I will deliver him unto you. Excuse me. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. Both of them were sold for silver. Jesus, of course, with 30 pieces of silver. Joseph for 20. I've often heard it said that Jesus was sold for 30 pieces and Joseph 20 because Jesus being the Son of God. But I've also heard it said that Joseph was 17 years old and the price of a slave, a young slave, was only 20 pieces of silver, the going rate. Whereas an older slave that was in his 20s and higher, they would be sold for 30 pieces of silver back then. But you see the typology? God has all that. Well, I've got to close it down here. Both were bound. Both remained silent and offered no defense of themselves when they were brought before. Both were falsely accused. Both experienced God's presence through everything. Thank God for that. Both were respected by their jailers. Isn't that something? Both were placed with two prisoners. One on which was lost and the other saved. Remember that? I'll take time to read that. Chapter 40 of Genesis 2 and 3. And Pharaoh was wroth against his officers, against the chief of the butlers and the chief of the bakers. And he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again. And he gave the cup unto Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief butler, as Joseph had had to interpret him. Excuse me, that's the chief baker. So anyway, he hung one, the other one was spared. Same thing when Jesus was on the cross. There was two malefactors hung on each side of him. One died and went to hell because he rejected the Son of God there hanging. The other one said, "Lord, remember me." And Jesus said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." And he was saved. And he was saved without being baptized. Isn't that something? I always use that against the Church of Christ people that they say you got to be baptized. No, you don't. I had someone ask me the other day, "Do you have to be baptized before you can go to heaven?" I said, "No." I said, "The thief on the cross that Jesus promised would be there with him in paradise, when did he get baptized?" He died right there on the cross. He had no chance to get baptized. So it's only through Jesus Christ and him alone are we saved. Not through anything that man can devise. Not through any symbolism or anything like that. Anyways, it's a good study to have to do when you look through the book of Genesis. Next time when you're reading through there, Genesis chapter 37 through 50, and just pick out the types of Christ that Joseph reflected there in his life. We'll be dismissed now, and we'll start back at 11 o'clock hour. God bless you.